Baruch Mabaram, everybody. Welcome to our Parsha class. Tonight is Tuesday. It is also Hey Adar Tovshin Pei Aleph, corresponding with the English calendar, February 16, 2021. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Truma, combined with Parsha's Zachor, where the week right before Purim is a week that we're obligated to read the portion that has to do with Amalek. Amalek is that terrible nation, that terrible family who came unprovoked into the desert to attack the Jewish people. And they had opened up the floodgates to the entire world to be able to have the Jewish people attacked and been hated by everybody else. And as a result, we have a mitzvah to obliterate the memory of Amalek. And the mitzvah comes actually in reading the Torah once a year. So this week we will have the reading of Parshas Zachor. For those who would like to know where it's located, it's at the end of Parshas Kisetze. And on Purim, they will read a different portion of Amalek. That's at the end of Parshas Bishalach. And that would be on Friday morning. This week's Parsha, Parshas Truma, really is a Parsha where I'm going to be devoting much in trying to bring about that enhancement of davening at home, in light of the fact that we are living in a pandemic and many, many people are not able to daven in shul. What's so interesting about this week's parsha, and the parsha has a very, very famous quote, a famous pasuk, that I have spoken about this pasuk in the past, but I'm going to devote a whole shiur based on this pasuk. Let's read the pasuk at the beginning. V'yidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhu li truma, take from me truma mi'ez kol asher, yidvenu libo, tikhu es truma, saying for those who their hearts are motivated to give, you shall take a truma from me. And pasuk ches and continues on, and make for me a sanctuary so that I may reside among them, among the Jewish people. This is a very famous pasuk, and I'm going to dwell on this pasuk because there's so much significance behind it, and I think we have to walk away with a new appreciation of who we are and how we could perform the mitzvah of tefillah. I would like to read from the Sefer Shevilei HaParsha using the works of Harav HaGoyen Nissen Kaplan Shlita. He says a beautiful introduction to this parsha. I would like to read it to you because there's so much significance behind it. And as he writes, immediately after the parashiyos of Matan Torah, parashas Yisrael, and parashas Mishpatim, we begin the parashiyos of the Mishkan. The Ramban, in his introduction to Sefer Shemos, explains that the first level of Klal Yisrael's Geula was leaving Mitzrayim. The next level of Geula was Matan Torah, and the pinnacle of Geula was the building of the Mishkan, where the Shekhinah rested on Klal Yisrael, and they returned to the level of their forefathers. It's no coincidence that the Shekhinah occurred immediately after Matan Torah. For the site of Hashra'as HaShekhinah, the area where the divine presence was focused on was on the Aron, which contains and represents the Torah. This teaches us that the primary Hashiras Hashchina in Kol Yisrael derived from the power of the Torah. On the words Daber B'nei Yisrael V'yikhu Li Truma, the Medrash wonders why, in instructing Kol Yisrael to donate to the Mishkan, the Torah used the word V'yikhu, and they should take, rather than V'yitnu, and they should give. The Medrash answers that when they were giving to the Mishkan, they were actually receiving. What were they receiving? One answer in the Medrash is that they were receiving HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Another answer is that they were receiving the Torah. The two are essentially synonymous, as we know, that Kutsu B'richu V'Oraisa Archadu, Hashem and the Torah, is one. Chazal also note that the word Truma contains the letters that spell Torah, plus the letter Mem, conveying that Klal Yisrael received the Torah, which was given in 40 days, and the Medrash then goes on to note that the Torah is called Lekach, Lekach Tov. Lekach Tov means a good purchase, a good acquirement. So therefore, we can understand that the Torah called Lekach Tov, here it says Vayichu, the Lashon of Vayichu, right? They should take, because when you go donate to the Mishkan, you're actually taking. So what's the significance of the 40 days? Chazal explained that it takes 40 days for a baby to be formed and have the din of a person. After Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah for 40 days, he came down from Har Sinai with newfound radiance, like a new creation. That's the effect that the Torah has on a person. Seeing this, Klal Yisrael recognized the beauty of Torah, and then they wanted to become new creations themselves and acquire the shine and the beauty that the Torah confers on a person. And there you have again, Vayikhu li truma, take from me truma. When you give from your heart and you want to build a Mishkan, it's not giving, you are taking. How is this accomplished? It's accomplished through Nedivas Halev. Nedivas Halev means your heart that's motivated to give. As the pasuk states, "Mi eis kol ish asher yidvenu libo," from every person you should take donations to whom their heart is motivated to give. It's coming from their heart. The Goyen, the Vilna Goyen on Shir Hashirim, wonders why the Mishkan had to be built through voluntary donations. Why didn't Hashem simply obligate the Yidden to give? To answer this question, he cites Chazal, teaching on the pasuk, "Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham," famous, famous explanation of the Goyim. "They shall make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in them." We would think the pasuk should have said, "Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socho," in him or in it, not in them. What was the reason why the Torah says, "B'socham, they shall make me a sanctuary and I will dwell in it"? But the Chazal explained that the purpose of the Mishkan was that Hashem should dwell, "B'socham echad v'echad." The Goyen explains that Hashiras Hashchina happens in the heart of every person, but only when there's Asher Yidvenu Libo. Only when there is a motivating, giving heart, that is when it becomes a Mishkan where the Shekhinah resides in every individual. So we see from over here such an incredible understanding that making a Mishkan really is a very subjective thing, not just a physical structure. We see from over here that making a Mishkan is when the individuals have donated their heart and their soul to building a Mishkan, and then the Mishkan became a Mishkan. In the Sefer Chidekel, Reb Chaim Dov Keller, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, brings out the Medrash Rabbah, which is so fundamental to today's Shir. As is brought down in the Medrash, in the word Vayichuli Truma, says the Medrash, B'shah she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Al Iskei HaMishkan, on the building of the Mishkan, the Amal Afanav, Ribbono Shel Olam. So Moshe said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Yechol and Hem Yisrael Asoso? Could a Jew actually build a sanctuary for the Almighty? Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Afilu Echad Mi Yisrael Yechol Asoso. Even one Jew, not a team of people, just even one Jew can build a Mishkan. Shenema, as it says from the Pasuk, from the heart, which is being motivated from each individual. I failed to mention at the beginning of the shir that we are devoting and recognizing Refuah Shleima to a gentleman by the name of Dror Ben Chana. He's going through a serious operation. All the learning that we're going to be learning tonight and in the future shir should be a credit and a merit for Dror Ben Chana, and we hope that he will have a refuah shleima b'mehera, b'mamish, quickly in nowadays. We'll continue on in the shir. The shir continues on. So we're in the middle of talking about building a Mishkan, and says Hashem, it's the individual who is Yidvenu Libo, who motivates his heart. That person, as Yidvenu Libo, is the one who builds a sanctuary. Apparently, to understand this, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to build a Mishkan, right? He gave him some simple instructions, right? And the various measurements and various materials and various vessels. But all of that, in comparison to what today, when you're trying to build something, there seems to be much more complicated in building a building today than it used to be then. Yet, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, all you need to build a Mishkan is not so much expertise in engineering. That's not what I'm looking for. Even one Jew can build a Mishkan, because I'm not looking for physical expertise. I'm looking for Kol Ish Ashi Yidvenu Libo. I'm looking for a Jew who's willing to motivate himself to give towards the Mishkan. That's who I'm looking for. So, because today a Mishkan shouldn't be considered a something where a Mishkan is something that just a portable Beis HaMikdash. To us, A Mishkan is a source of Kedusha, and it's a source where the Jewish people come together and they pray to Hashem. The Mishkan, and Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was told by Hashem to build a Mishkan, right, he couldn't imagine one person to build a Mishkan. What do you mean? Hashem says, as long as he's devoted, Ashe Yidvenu Libo, that is who I'm really looking for. And that's something that has to be recognized. So what we end up having right now that the Mishkan was the source of Kedusha, that is where the holiness of Har Sinai ended up residing, in this Mokem HaMikdash, in this sanctuary where the Jewish people traveled in the desert and had this in the center of their travels, in the center of their camps. And that's where the Hashroes HaShchinah, that is where the Shekhinah resided. And the holiness of Har Sinai resided on the Mishkan, which was then on top of the Aron HaKodesh, and that is where the holiness of the Mishkan was throughout the 40 years. As we continue to understand this, we have to understand this, that the Mishkan is not just a physical structure. When Bezalel put the Mishkan together, he, with his phenomenal mind, put together secret letters and secret words from the Torah and put it together, and it was like a miniature world. The Mishkan is like a microcosm of a person. And the Mishkan is really like a miniature Olam Katan. Let me quote you something from the Sefer, and the Sefer says the following. Pirish kol davar hanimtza ba'olam hayalo davar kinekta b'mishkan. Everything in the world has some counterpart in the Mishkan. Ve'inei b'sfarim hakdoshim kasu od, shegam ha'odam hu olam katan. Also a person is a small world. Shebekerev kol adam nimtzaim kol alfa yirevevei prate inyonei habriya. That even in a person, there are these reflections that the whole Bria is reflected in the human being. And the Mishkan is a reflection of an adam who is an oilam katan. So when we're building a Mishkan, we're really building an Olam Katan, a small world. And this is represented by the Nediva slave, the special heart that's being given over by the individuals who are building the Mishkan. And these are the people who are making the Mishkan happen. So these Chachmei Lev, now they're not so, would you say, they're rampant all over Klal Yisrael? No. The Chachmei Lev were few in number. These were those who were Yerei Shemayim. These were the God-fearing Jews who had Yerei Shemayim. And for the people who are Chachmei Lev, they were privileged in building the Mishkan. Like we know, we say in davening, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem. The first wisdom is fearing Hashem. Who were these Chachmei Lev? These were the people who had fear of Hashem, and Hashem instilled in them the knowledge and the ability to build a Mishkan. It needed special neshamis, special human beings, into building a Mishkan. And therefore, by them building the Mishkan, the Mishkan was able to set a place where the Shekhinah was able to reside. And for this reason, Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu that, you know, you want to build a Mishkan? We need the individuals who are Nediv Libo, are the people who are motivated to give their heart to building. The people who want to build and give their hearts, those are the people who will bring about a Mishkan, and those are the people that will allow the holiness to reside in the sanctuary in the desert. Now, having said all this, it's important now to focus on the reality of today. We are unfortunately stuck, many of us, at home, and we can't really go to shul. Some do and some don't, and some have only a limitation of only 10 people, not much more. So we are basically stuck at home. Yet, we are told, we are encouraged, V'otuli migdash v'shachanti v'saychem. We're being told to make ourselves into a sanctuary in order for Hashem to reside amidst the sanctuary. In other words, this parsha, so appropriate for the time that we're living in, is a parsha that is encouraging us not to give up hope. We still can serve Hashem, and we still could be devoted to His service. But we have to be nadiv liboy. We have to not make the davening just by route or by habit, but we have to, if we're going to set ourselves aside in davening at home, we have to abide by certain rules that will help the davening achieve greatness. Even when we're alone, we can still add a certain measure of kedusha in making our davening very, very important and very, very great. First and foremost, when we're home, we should have a mokem kavua. We should have a specific place to daven. We have to have a mokem kavua. We need a place where to daven. Not one day in this room, not one day in another room. We should have an established place where to daven. And that itself adds immeasurably to the kedusha of our davening. While the davening is taking place, especially during the weekday, there should be no distractions around, whether it's radio distractions or other digital sounds and technology around, which could just be distraction to the davening. Your davening should be devoted with no interruption. Remember, you would like to daven in shul, but because of the pandemic, we can't. But then do the best you can. Try to daven with as much kavana, with the least distractions as possible. Try to use an art scroll siddur to help you with some of the translations. And don't be in any rush to finish. After all, there is no competition. There is no race. Take your time. That's important. Daven to your pace, to your speed. Furthermore, try to daven at the same time your shul minyan davens. If, for example, mincha would be at 6 o'clock, so set yourself up to daven at 6 o'clock. If you're davening in the morning, there's an additional advantage where if you can daven v'sikin is when the sun appears. So you start that, let's say today, v'sikin was at 7:15. And it's a special mitzvah to daven v'sikin would be equivalent to davening with an entire minyan. I don't know how many people are aware of that. But if you daven v'sikin, it's as if you davened with a minyan. So what v'sikin is that you should step into Shmona Esrei at the time when the sun appears, at sunrise. Today, sunrise was at 7:15. So if you start davening at 6:45 and you take your time at 7:15, you'll adjust your stepping into Shmona Esrei and you'll be able to daven equivalent to Tefillah B'Tzibur. This is a very important thing. These are all little tips that make a tremendous, tremendous difference. Being that you are making your Mokoyim HaMikdash, your place at home, holy, you're making your place into a Mishkan Ma'at, then all of a sudden you're going to notice that that spot in your house is going to be regarded as something special in your eyes. Naturally, if everybody in your family knows that's a special spot to daven, and it's a special time when you have to daven, and they'll respect your time when you have to start davening, that they shouldn't distract you, it'll add so much more to the quality of your davening. Naturally, if a person feels he has to prepare himself to the washroom before he starts davening, this all adds to the Kedusha. So here we talked about at the time where many, many of us don't daven in a minyan, but we could fulfill v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'sochan. We still could fulfill this pasuk, because Hashem is telling us, if you're going to dedicate your heart, if you're going to give yourself towards the davening with full motivation, that you want to daven with your full heart, then you're going to cause your house to become a Mishkan and a Mikdash Ma'at. And the pasuk of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem will apply to each and every one of you. By davening with Kavana, by following the rules that I've tried to set forth for all of you, by knowing that you're giving it your heart, not just only your lips, and you're going to do your best to daven until the pandemic is over, you will certainly have fulfilled the V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti v'seichem. There's no doubt about that. And therefore, it's important to all of us to do our best in trying to daven, recognizing that even the smallest effort and the smallest kavana is recognized by Hashem, and it's endeared, it's cherished by Hashem, since we are certainly not living in normal times. May we continue to grow in our tefillah. May we go from strength to strength. Let's try to observe the times of tefillah that we know our minyanim are trying to keep. And when we can daven with a minyan because we're stuck at home, we still can daven at the same time minyan is taking place. And we're going to be able, Mi'at Hashem, to create our environment of a Mishkan, so that we will fulfill the pasuk for Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem. Have a wonderful week, and take care of yourselves. Be healthy and be safe.